like a woman. The girls need a break tonight. We're gonna take the chance to get out on the town. We don't need romance, we only wanna dance. We're gonna let our hair hang down. The best thing like a woman.
Turn this town to ashes, cause they ain't never seen nothing like us. I ain't heard loud till we turn it up. I got the wild, you got the crazy. You know that's why I love you, baby. Cause your motor runs just as fast as mine. Pedal to the metal, keep the throttle down all night. A good tale to tell. Let's give them something they ain't never seen. A little rated R redneck dream. Let's blaze a trail through the dirty south. I'll give them something they can talk about. A little story that they won't forget. Long after we ride off into the sunset, baby, cause we ain't dead yet. We only get one chance.
few stains. Might slam just a little too hard. Might take it just a little too far. Might burn out like a firework, like a shooting star across the sky. Yeah, we may not be around in 20 years. No, we may not be around in 20 years. But the show gonna know we were here. Yeah, the show gonna know.
Sack of clothes, free and easy down the road I go. Hanging memories on the highline poles, free and easy down the road I go. Free and easy down the road I go. Up. We'll be right back.
keeping it country in the heart of Wisconsin. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
I got sent home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told that story just like I'd rehearsed. Then stood there on those trembling knees and waited for the worst. And he said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen. When I became a father in the spring of 81, there was no doubt that stubborn boy was just like my father's son. When I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my daddy's secret and I passed it on to him. I said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. I said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen. Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates. When suddenly I realize there must be some mistake. If they know half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. And then somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. And they said, let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. You see, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
If you haven't been paranoid in the past, it's time to start being paranoid.
It's one of the largest data breaches ever. Hackers have stolen the personal information of almost every American. And they didn't just grab some of your information, but virtually all your identity details, giving the bad guys nearly total access.
The breach apparently affected every one of us. The scope of this was much broader than a lot of data breaches that we've heard about.
Now's the time to freeze your credit card accounts, and you should be extra alert to catch any unexpected charges on your accounts.
Every email, every phone call, every text that you get, if it was not expected, then part of you has to think, this could be a scam.
That story and more are ahead on this week's InfoTrack. The show begins right after this.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A recent major data breach might have put your personal data at risk. Here to discuss this is Teresa Murray, Consumer Watchdog Director for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. Teresa, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
You described this data breach as a five-alarm wake-up call. Why is the release of this stolen personal information such a concern?
Well, a couple of things. One, the breach that involved national public data apparently affected every one of us and dead relatives going back 30 years and past addresses and a whole bunch of other things that we're not quite sure, and of course, including Social Security numbers. But it seems like the scope of this was much broader than a lot of data breaches that we've heard about.
Can you tell us what happened and who was involved exactly?
Basically, this was a breach involving National Public Data, which is a data broker. They're not government sanctioned or they're not related to the credit bureaus. It's actually kind of curious because this company is owned by Jericho Pictures, which is a film production company in Florida. And it's not really clear like why they had all this data unless they're planning on doing tryouts for some of their upcoming films and TV shows, perhaps. But this was involving almost 3 billion records, which does not mean 3 billion people. It was involving folks in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Canada. And again, lots of dead people. And that's one of the most troublesome pieces of information here. It's not known how the data breach occurred. It appears it was some kind of denial of service where bad guys basically try and breach the website with so much incoming force that basically it would distract the IT people, the security people, and allow somebody to come in like the side door, basically, is what's involved. It's like if you got so many people at your front door trying to come in your front door, you might get distracted, not realize that the back door isn't quite as secure. And that's apparently what happened here. And there seems to be that there was a request maybe for ransom, and it's not clear what happened with that. There was a report that 277 gigabytes worth of data was on sale, you know, for other bad guys for like $3.5 million. No idea what happened, but apparently it all got out on the dark web, which is where all of the bad guys shop for information to rip off you and me.
So for those of us listening, what are some of the immediate risks that you would associate with this data breach, particularly around identity theft and fraud?
Yeah, there are quite a few things. Obviously, having your full name, your current address, your social security number, your date of birth, that kind of stuff out there could pose a problem for someone who's wanting to open like a bank account in your name or a credit card application or a car loan or anything like that. Although you can take care of that perhaps with a credit freeze. But some of the other things that can be done that are not quite as obvious and you can't solve with a credit freeze is posing as one of your relatives and contacting you by phone or by text or by email. And we hear about these scams all the time where somebody will call you up and pretend to be your grandchild and they got into a car wreck in another state and they'd need money right now. Or, you know, it's the IRS calling and they know all your information. They know your name, your social security number, your date of birth, all that kind of stuff. And they insist that you're behind on your taxes, even when you're not. And they're going to send somebody to your house to arrest you if you don't pay right now, maybe using gift cards. Okay. So those are a couple of things. Then also one of the lesser known, but increasingly concerning issues is hijacking your phone number with your mobile provider, with something called like port out hijacking or SIM swapping. And they can do all kinds of mischief with that. And then the other thing is to perhaps create a Google Voice number in your name and commit crimes with that. And then with all of the other extraneous pieces of information, they can use it to try and hack into just any existing account, especially ones that involve like secret questions.
You mentioned freezing credit files. I'm not sure everybody understands that. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure. So whether we like it or not, all of us have credit files with Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian. And basically it involves all your personal data, all your contact information, and then basically every credit type of account that you have or have ever had going back at least 7 years, but probably goes back further if those are good accounts. So every credit card, car loan, mortgage, equity line, student loan, all that kind of stuff. And it also includes public records data, like any kind of liens against you, court cases that involved finance, any kind of collections data. And then it also includes like where you work and all that kind of stuff. And basically, banks and credit issuers use the data that's in these credit reports to decide whether you're a good credit risk, because they can see how you've paid your bills in the past and if you've had late payments and how much you owe and all that kind of stuff. So if you freeze those files with the three bureaus, Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian, then no bank is going to lend you money because they can't figure out what you got going on already. They don't know what your existing debts are, whether you've paid on time or late. And so that's the easiest and quickest way to protect yourself a lot from new account fraud.
Yeah, I recently froze my credit files with the three providers, and it takes a little bit of time, and each one has a different system, but I got it done.
I hope you did it by phone. It's much easier by phone.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Our guest is Teresa Murray, Consumer Watchdog Director for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, to learn what you need to know to protect your credit and identity in the aftermath of what is apparently the largest data breach in history. Next, three other vital steps besides freezing your credit report as InfoTrack continues.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Casualty right. Insurance company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024, Bank of America, N.A.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments.
Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
We're back with more from Teresa Murray, Consumer Watchdog Director for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group. We've been talking about the massive data breach that appears to have included the Social Security number and lots of other personal info for virtually every American. And we're getting Teresa's advice on protecting yourself. Teresa, after this incident, would you advise people to change passwords on their various accounts?
Possibly, especially if they used anything for their password, like a relative's date of birth or a relative's name. Because I know one of the questions you see sometimes is like your youngest sibling's middle name. But anything that involves data that could possibly be involved with this breach, if you used anything like that as part of a password, then I would strongly recommend changing those passwords. At the same time, it's really important for people not to use the same password on multiple accounts and never use anything on a social media account that you also use for like your bank or your credit card or your investments, because the social media platforms, those are like the easiest to hack into.
Are there reasons that people might be hesitant to freeze their credit files?
Gosh, I mean, reasons not to freeze your credit. In the past, people didn't want to freeze their credit because it used to cost money, but that was changed under federal law a few years ago. So you can freeze it and thaw it and freeze it and thaw it, you know, every other day, and it's fine. When it costs money, it was a little bit of a pain. It certainly could add up if you're talking about a married couple with three files times maybe $5 each. Then all of a sudden you're talking about potentially hundreds of dollars a year, depending on how often you're applying for credit or getting a new cell phone. One of the other things that might be a reason for some people is if they work in a job where they have to have frequent credit reviews, maybe somebody who's like high up in a bank or who's in a position where they have access to money, where the employer is going to frequently, maybe every 3 months, run their credit. That can be a little cumbersome, but again, I mean, you've been through it with the phone the first time. I think the first time you freeze and the first time you thaw, it's the most difficult. And then after that, as long as you have all your account information, your passwords, anything, your PINs, it's pretty easy from there. So I don't think any of those are good reasons to not freeze your credit files. I hear some people, they'll say, well, gosh, Teresa, it takes a long time. It takes like, you know, 20 minutes and I've got to get dinner on the table and I've got to go see my father and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I got a church meeting. And then I sit here and think it takes, you know, about 20 minutes to freeze your files. If you get hit with fraud, I guarantee you, you will spend hours and days and weeks trying to untangle this mess. And you will be saying, oh my goodness, I wish I had frozen these a while ago. We all have priorities. We all have things. People will spend a half hour looking at the restaurant menus that they want to go to with their significant other this weekend and try and look at who's got specials, who's got happy hour, who's got what on sale, you know, great menus. And yet they can't take 20 minutes to take care of something like this that's extremely important. It's incredibly important. It's incredibly easy. And it's just one of those things you just got to like put it in your calendar, just like you would any other commitment. And you say, okay, on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock after dinner, I'm going to do this and do it.
In your opinion, Teresa, are the current legal and regulatory frameworks sufficient to prevent future breaches like this?
Short answer, no. This particular company, they're not regulated by the government. There's been talk about possibly regulating data brokers, but part of the problem here is a lot of the information that is sold on the dark web, guess what? These are already bad guys. So they don't really care if there's a law or a regulation. They may not even be located in this country. So there's really little chance of being able to go after anybody. And the regulated entities like the credit bureaus, like the banks, other entities that collect our data and store our data, absolutely. But a lot of times these breaches, the really bad ones, occur with people who are underground. Now, we've had data breaches, of course, involving like AT&T not too long ago. There were a couple different breaches this year. T-Mobile got hit like a year or so ago. So there certainly are other companies that can face some kind of sanctions, but these kinds of things are not regulated.
Our guest is Teresa Murray, Consumer Watchdog Director for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, and we're talking about this major data breach, which could put your personal data at risk and very likely has. What about paid services? We see them advertised where they'll protect your identity and protect your accounts. Is there value in those?
Little to nothing. I would say if you just don't want to be bothered yourself. I mean, these paid services cannot do anything for you that you can't do yourself. For example, nobody can freeze your credit besides you or perhaps your spouse. They wouldn't know enough information to be able to do it. If it's a matter of looking at like perhaps fraud, maybe you had some kind of account opened on your file or somebody was charging up a bunch on your MasterCard. Those kinds of things you're going to be able to detect all by yourself if you just pay attention to the credit scores that are provided every month with like your credit card issuer, with your deposit account. But it doesn't matter what scale they're using, whether they're using a FICO scale or a Vantage scale. If you notice a drastic change in your score from one month to the next, that's a reason to pay attention. And if you're so lazy that you don't want to open emails from your bank or from your credit card issuer about possible fraud, I don't know why you would trust this to somebody else, especially when they charge you money.
I think people listening to us may think, I'm pretty savvy. I listen to interviews such as this, so I'm not very likely to be scammed. What do you have to say about that?
One of the things that I hear from people, because I do a lot of work in this space as far as identity theft and fraud and scams and robocalls and robotext. I've been doing work on this really going like 15 years. And a lot of times people will say, gosh, you know, I've heard about these scams. You know, how could anybody possibly fall for them? Well, here's the thing. You know, they're computer dialers located overseas. Maybe they make thousands, tens of thousands of calls in one day. And maybe they find one person, one older person, one person who's stressed out because their pet is sick, their car broke down, whatever has them distracted, tricks them just enough to fall for something. And all of a sudden, they're $10,000 richer. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't make $10,000 in one day. So even if they get one victim a day, it can be a really great payday for these bad guys. And it is going to get worse. Honest to goodness, it's getting worse. Even as much as the FCC and the FTC try and tamp down on things, they're playing whack-a-mole. They can't keep up, especially with, as you kind of alluded to, a lot of these are international players, and the U.S. government cannot really do as much to go after them. One of the things that I've been working on the last few years is they can't control people in other countries, but they can control the phone providers that do business in this country. And so that's where a lot of the work from the government has gone on, and other consumer advocates and myself, we've been working to try and strengthen these laws. And you have to go after the phone companies, you know, the AT&Ts, the T-Mobiles, the Verizons, especially, but then your VoIP providers like your Spectrums and your Cox Cables and Comcast and all that. You know, you can make them follow the rules.
Well, to wrap this up, you've had some very strong points here that hopefully have alerted our listeners that they need to take action if they haven't already. Is there anything you would add to that?
Yeah, in light of this breach, which seemed to get a lot of people's attention, but of course, data breaches have been going on pretty heavily for like 15 years. But besides freezing your credit reports, we recommend three other things. Make sure that your contact information is up to date with your bank, your credit card company, your investment company, so that if there is anything weird going on, they can reach you. A lot of people move, they change cell phone providers, or they change cell phone numbers, they change email addresses. Make sure all of that information is up to date. And then also sign up for like transaction alerts, so that if there is a big honker withdrawal from your bank account, you get an alert for it. Like maybe anything over $50 or anything over $100, or if a new payee is added, you want to be alerted to that either by text or by email. All of the deposit banks do it. All of the credit cards allow this, and you can set the parameters. And then the last thing that we recommend, and this is perhaps the most important thing, is if you haven't been paranoid in the past, it's time to start being paranoid. every email, every phone call, every text that you get, if it was not expected, then part of you has to think, this could be a scam. And it doesn't matter how much they know about you. They could know your maiden name. They could know where you lived 10 years ago, four houses ago. They could know all of your kids' names. They could know your dead aunt's name. It doesn't matter, because right now we know that these bad guys have lots of information about us. And so a lot of times the bad guys will use the amount of information they have to like lure you in or convince you that it's really the bank calling, or it's really the Internal Revenue Service calling, or it's really your Aunt Betty calling. And you just have to like, just stop a minute, close your eyes, take a deep breath. And then if any kind of call you get like that, any kind of email, text, always contact them at a number that you can independently verify. So if it's the bank, look on the back of your bank card, your ATM card, your credit card. If it's a relative who supposedly was in a car accident in another state and needs money right now, call another relative, text another relative, and find out what's going on. And these kinds of scams are just going to get worse. Absolutely. They're growing exponentially every year. And the more information the bad guys have, the easier it is for them to trick us, and especially by scaring us.
And again, if you intend to lock down your credit file, it's free. And you can find a link to Teresa's column that explains exactly how to do that at our website, InfotrackRadio.com. Teresa Murray, Consumer Watchdog Director for the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, with a lot of great advice. Teresa, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Flo here from Progressive to tell you how you get more than great savings with us. You get customer service access through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
That's a lot of ways I can get in touch with you.
I see what's going on here. You can't name favors, but I'm your number one customer.
Actually, we offer all our customers these ways to contact us.
I'm sure you give just any customer your personal
company
contact info.
Well, you did call us more than any other customer this year, so in that sense, you are our number one customer.
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Many Americans are on the hunt for new jobs. Recent research reveals growing fears of job losses as companies cut payroll and staffing. Are the fears justified? InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Guy Berger, Director of Economic Research at the Burning Glass Institute. Data they collect helps policymakers, educational institutions, workers, and others plan for and connect with the work world. Guy, a recent New York Federal Reserve poll of consumers found nearly 3 in 10 people were looking for a job, the highest reading since March of 2014. Do we know exactly why that number is up?
Well, I think some of it is that over the past 2 years, we've seen the U.S. labor market cool a lot. It was extremely hot about 2 years ago, and now I would characterize it as lukewarm, maybe. And part of that is that now we just have, you know, the unemployment rate's ticked up a little bit. People are looking for work, and it's not as easy to find work as it was. So it's not entirely surprising to me the New York Fed and their survey would find that kind of response.
Are there other factors at play here as well? After all, the data from that same Fed survey shows that people are less satisfied with their wages, benefits, and chance at promotion. Could these be main drivers in people looking for new jobs?
I think these things may very well be driving some discontent and people looking, but I really do think that a lot of this is just in times when the job market is actually very hot and it's very easy to find jobs. So I think something like the, you know, the labor market in early 2022 is an example. People use the phrase the Great Resignation for that job market. People were able to quit and they had lots of options finding a new job that paid them more, had better benefits. And I think that generates a lot of times a pretty high baseline level of contentment because people can find something better if they're not happy. And now people are actually paradoxically stuck in their jobs more because there are fewer opportunities out there. If you have a job, you can sit pretty, be happy at work. But if you're looking for a new job because you're not happy about your pay, your benefits, other aspects, you're going to have to be looking for a longer time to find something new.
Guy, I noticed that the New York Fed survey showed fewer people were still with the same employer during the four-month survey as compared to a year ago. And also, a higher percentage of people were transitioning to a different job compared to a year ago. Do we know why women were the primary driver of this?
Well, I think just generally what's interesting about, you know, that result is that at least insofar as people voluntarily quitting is down actually a fair amount over the past 2 years. And I think because economic opportunities have diminished, there's less hiring. And so people are deciding, you know, even if I'm not as happy as I was with my past employer, you know, I don't have as many options, so they're staying. But I do think just in general, what we see is that if you look, for example, the share of women prime work age in the workforce, you know, it's been a multi-decade phenomenon of women entering the workforce, but it is about as high as it's ever been. It's pretty remarkable.
And I also see this survey showed a higher percentage of people than previously expect to work beyond age 67. What do you feel is driving that?
I mean, some of it's just literally human lifespans are longer. People are healthier longer. You know, it used to be that you retired and the amount of the golden years you had, they weren't that long. And now it's a decision. I'm 65. I'm probably going to be alive for much longer. What do I want to do with it? Some chunk of the population, not all of it, enjoy their jobs and want to be engaged beyond that. Not everybody's nest egg is that big. And unfortunately, some people might not have the option of stopping work and need to continue remaining engaged in the workforce. So some of it is out of desire and some of it's out of necessity.
And among the increased number of those looking for a job, many were older than 45, had no college degree, and their household income was less than $60,000 a year. Does this set of demographics tell us anything about the big picture on employment opportunities?
It's a good question, because if we had been talking about having this conversation 6 months or a year ago, I would have said, well, we still have a big shortage in a lot of the roles that actually don't require college education. Earlier on, a lot of the labor market cooling we'd seen was primarily concentrated in occupations that require higher levels of education in sectors like technology, professional services. It does seem like some of that softening has broadened recently. And maybe now it's also workers without a college degree that are maybe seeing fewer opportunities than they were used to when labor market was hottest 2 years ago.
Guy Berger of the Burning Glass Institute, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
And that's it for this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. We hope you'll join us right here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Lets me borrow from month to month. Running out of credit and find a little cash on the radio. Standing still, they're blowing past. Numbers on cars going NASCAR fast. What I wouldn't give for a slow down, don't you know? 'Cause where I come from, only the horses run. When the day is done, we take it easy. Meanwhile, back at Mama's, the porch light's on. Come on in if you wanna. Supper's on the stove and beer's in the fridge. Red sun sinking out low on the ridge. Game's on the tube and Daddy smokes cigarettes. Whiskey keeps his whistle wet. Funny the things you thought you'd never miss in a world gone crazy as this. Well,
I found a girl and we don't fit in here. Talk about how hard it is to breathe here. Even with the windows down, can't catch a southern breeze here. One of these days, gonna pack it up and leave here. Cause meanwhile, back at mama's, the porch light's on. Come on in if you wanna. Supper's on the stove and beer's in the fridge. Red sun sinking out low on the ridge. Game's on the tube and daddy smokes cigarettes. Whiskey keeps his whistle wet. Funny the things you thought you'd never miss. The world gone crazy as these. Somebody, everybody knows there, everybody knows everybody. I miss those small town roots, walking around in muddy boots, the sound of rain on an old tin roof. It's time we head on back. Cause meanwhile, back at mama's, the for sale sign's gone up and I'm gonna dump this truck and the little I got on a loan to own and a 3-acre lot. Put supper on the stove and beer in the fridge. Going for broke, yeah, we're gonna be rich. Watch the sun setting on the ridge. Baby, tell me what you think about this. Me and you back at mama. Yeah, me and you back at mama's.
Oh, my mama would be so ashamed. Is that-
nights I pray to good for bad goodbyes. I got some girls off of my mind, but baby, not tonight. Cause I've been putting in overtime trying to get over your leaving. You're still right here on my mind. You sure did a number on me. I've tried every last one of them.